Advent, peace to you in the name of Christ, who comes for you to take away your sins. Amen. Well, David was a man with humble beginnings. You perhaps remember the beginning of his story. He was the runt of a family of brothers, the smallest, youngest one, destined to watch over sheep for the rest of his life. At least that's what his family thought. But God had other plans for David. And over the course of his life, through great victories as a king, and in some ways, even greater defeats, David became known as the greatest king that Israel had. Israel was at its largest territorially under King David. But he was not perfect. And so when he declared that this holiest relic that Israel owned in the faith, the Ark of the Covenant, that big golden box that held the Ten Commandments, when he determined that this ark needed a home and God needed a home beyond his tent, well, God stepped up with a word from David's preacher, Nathan. And through Nathan, God tells David that if he had wanted a house, he would have said so. He would have told his people he wanted a house. So hold on, David, with your architectural plans, because I've got other work for you to do, God says. And in what begins as one of the great sarcastic rebukes of the Lord to David, ends in one of the great promises made to the people of Israel. And God says to David, "You will not make a house for me, but I will make of you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever." And so he would. But when and how would God do this? Now, these are two great questions to ask when a promise is given. And I suspect that when you've been given a promise in your life, you have asked these very questions. When is this going to happen? And how will it come about? My little boys try to pin me down often as to when I will come and play the people sword fighting game, which is what Rafe calls it, on the Nintendo Wii in the basement. This sword fighting game on Wii Resort, maybe some of you know this game, is fairly addicting, and Rafe enjoys it a lot. Josiah enjoys it, though he does not know how to play. He just takes a controller and makes believe. But both of them want me to be down there to help them out. And so the question they ask is, when, Papa, will you come play sword fighting game with us? In a couple of minutes? Right now, perhaps? Or maybe when you're done changing Solvay? Or after supper? When, Daddy? When? It's an important question to them as well. And as their dad, I've had to learn how to give them a timeline when I'm not always sure of it myself with other things happening in the house. As to the how, well, so far, though this is probably soon to end, my boys are young enough to still have all the confidence in the world that their dad knows how to do whatever needs to get done. So the how is not yet asked of me. Though I suspect that it will come soon. They will begin to see that dad does not know how to do everything in the world, as it is for kids and their parents, eventually. But when and how are questions that remain. God was sure of the when and the how in his promise, though nobody else was. Does that sound familiar in your life? Israel didn't know when or how all of this would happen, that God would make of David a great house, a great name, and a kingdom that would last forever. But Israel had to trust that God was true to his word. And so this becomes our theme in Advent, and especially now the fourth Sunday in Advent, when we have been waiting for a little while. Trusting God's promise in his word, even when it may look like everything else in life is against this promise. Surely some thought that the promise given to David was fulfilled when his son Solomon was given the task to build a temple. And what a beautiful temple it was, rivaling and I'm sure surpassing even our own recent temple here in Minnesota, the People's Stadium or U.S. Bank Stadium, which will be showcased for the whole world to see in a little over a month. Well, Solomon's temple was greater than this, but even Solomon's temple didn't last forever. After Solomon, Israel split into two with civil war to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And after a few hundred years, the northern kingdom was taken out by the Assyrians. And a few hundred years later, the southern kingdom, Judah, was taken out by the Babylonians. And with them went Solomon's beautiful temple and the Ark of the Covenant, reduced to a pile of rubble. So much for a forever house and a forever kingdom. When and how would God be faithful to this promise given to David? How would this house and kingdom come to be? How long would they have to wait? Would God be faithful to his word? Fast forward through years of rebuilding Jerusalem, building a new temple, hundreds of years of occupation by the Greeks and then the Romans, and locate your Google pin on a backwater town in the middle of nowhere, Nazareth. And it is here, 1,000 years later, after this promise was given to King David, that an angel shows up, not to a stadium full of people, not to a temple full of important dignitaries, but to a seemingly insignificant teenage girl who was engaged but not yet married to a carpenter. Now, if you were a public relations or media specialist, this would not be your shining moment of getting the word out or creating a buzz of what was about to happen for the sake of the whole world. But it is God's shining moment. And here we are, gathered together 2,000 years later, marveling at this story. And so this out-of-the-world angel says to an understandably frightened Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was still very afraid. And she did not know what was going to happen to her. So Gabriel tries again. He says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And so the word arrives. But Mary is still not sure, because here she is, engaged, but not yet married. And how is she to have a child while still a virgin? This is the question running through her head, and it's a good question to ask. It actually seems impossible, doesn't it? But the angel describes that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, because nothing is impossible with God, who, by the way, actually designed and created the whole reproductive system to begin with, so he knows how to figure this out. But if she doesn't believe that, Gabriel says, she should go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who in her old age, who is thought to be barren, will have a child in 3 months. And this child was John the Baptist. God's promise, given first to Abraham and then to David, would finally be fulfilled in this little baby, Jesus Christ. Yet so far, at this point in the story, the only one to know is a soon-to-be pregnant, unmarried teenage girl in Nazareth, who at a time had very little standing in her own community. What would her parents say to this? Can you imagine that conversation? What would Joseph say? What would the neighbors say? Seemed like everything in the world was against Mary at this point. Perhaps even God, if you look at it from a certain angle. All of these questions were questions that we would likely ask as well. were we in Mary's position. But Mary, blessed by the Holy Spirit with faith, says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." God has a way. God has a way always. Though it may not make complete sense to us, though we may not see a way forward, God has a way. And his way is through the birth, the death, and the resurrection of his only son, Jesus. Perhaps you have been put in a position where, like Israel, you can't see your way forward. You can't see what's coming next. You don't know what is about to happen or how you will be blessed based on where you're at. Perhaps, like Mary, all you have is this word that he will take away your sin and your shame, that he will deal with your difficulty and even death itself and give you eternal life. Like Israel, you may have trouble trusting this promise some days, yet here it is on the fourth Sunday in Advent for you. Here it is. And here by the power of the Holy Spirit is faith for you, so that you may trust this promise of Christ. Now, likely you will still ask, when, Lord? And how, Lord? Depending on your circumstances, you will ask these questions. This is how we learn to pray. It's by asking these questions. Israel waited thousands of years. Mary, well, 9 months, and then some. You? Well, the rest of the story is right around the corner for you today. But know now that Christ has come for you to establish his house in you and his kingdom in your life. It is a house and a kingdom built on truth and built on grace. The truth is that you need a Savior. The truth is also that you have looked to all sorts of false saviors and they have failed you. But the grace now is that Christ has found you. And even as he has promised to an unlikely mother, Mary, the favored one. Well, now you have heard it too. Now, as Paul says in Romans 16, this mystery that has been kept secret for so many generations has been revealed to you. Now you know. And now he is yours too. And in this gospel, you are highly favored. For in Christ, the Lord is with you. Amen.